mouth.
Word of 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 mouth.
This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. Coming up today, chaos in Quebec. Ongoing protests boiled over one night in May with more than 500 arrests made. We'll make up for scant U.S. coverage of the demonstrations and find out what they're all about. And the age of the new internet began yesterday. Yep, we didn't notice either. We'll check in with our tech dude to hear what happened. But first, the worst line of defense. The destructive history of war is punctuated by a long line of military strategists touring with harebrained schemes to win the day. That desperation has led to some of the most bizarre, dysfunctional weaponry in the history of battle. Mental Floss contributor Judy Dutton compiled a list of blunders in her article, Nine Weapons That Failed Spectacularly and One That Possibly Didn't. And she joins us from Argo Studios in New York with a rundown. Judy, great to have you back on Word of Mouth.
Happy to be here.
So I guess we should stipulate that these are some of the most ridiculous state-sponsored weapons that we know about. Who knows what else has been tried?
Right. That's very true.
Your research brought you back to 218 BCE. That's when strategists were kind of stabbing for a way to defeat history's first version of the tank, the war elephant. What happened?
Definitely. War elephants were very formidable forces because they could withstand arrows, they could break through enemy lines, and they were very hard to stop. So that's when someone came up with the genius idea of taking pigs and slathering them with tar and then setting them on fire and then setting them loose to wreak havoc. Because supposedly elephants are very scared of pigs.
How'd it work out?
Well, occasionally it worked out really well. For example, in 266 BCE, there's a Greek city called Megara. They fended off a conqueror, someone who was trying to invade, when they doused pigs in resin and set them loose. So sometimes it worked, but then most of the time they didn't because the pigs had a lot of problems. Number one, since they're on fire, they didn't last very long, so their range was well under 400 feet. So that doesn't work very well. And then also on top of that, they lacked a guidance system. So oftentimes when they were set loose, they just kind of ran wherever they wanted to, sometimes right back into, your own forces. So that didn't work very well either.
Yeah, they wouldn't have lasted long with the proto-PETA, I imagine, also.
Right,
several of these failed weapons did evolve during World War II. Let's run through a few. Some epic fails from the Allies first. Building carriers out of icebergs? Really?
I know. I was baffled when I heard about this. But it kind of made some strange sort of logical sense at the time in that steel and aluminum were very hard to come by. And that's what was required to build these aircraft carriers. And since they lacked steel, they figured, well, what do we have that's plentiful? Oh, well, it turns out ice is very plentiful. So they came up with this mixture called picrete, which is a mixture of sawdust and ice, which is a little stronger than ice, but still, it's ice. And anyway, they started building this massive ship in Canada. And then the problem they encountered was called plastic flow, which in layman's terms means that the ship started to melt.
Well, so that one didn't work out so well. Great idea, I guess. Other strategies for popping Japanese balloons. And this one I loved, bat bombs. This was a favorite of FDR, apparently. What was the idea here?
Right. The idea is to attach tiny little bombs to the jackets and put these jackets on bats. So the bats can actually carry their own weight. So they're decent in that regard. But the strategy was to get a lot of these bats, strap bombs on them, and then set them loose over in enemy fields. And then they would kind of roost in various places, and then they would explode and kind of cause massive fire and destruction.
So they must have experimented with this. How'd it work out?
Not so good. During one test run in Carlsbad, New Mexico, the bats got loose, roosted under a fuel tank, and then incinerated the facility.
Well, okay, so it's not just the losers that have a bad track record. I mean, those were the Allied powers, eventually won the war. But the Axis powers also had some cockamamie ideas. The Third Reich had an idea of an air gun, so a gun to, I guess, stir up wind and take planes out of the sky. What was the thinking here?
Right, right. It was essentially a cannon that shoots air. And if you pointed it at the sky, it was theorized that these little pockets of air that they were launching would somehow throw planes out of the sky. And, it actually was fairly effective in that it could shatter wooden planks from 650 feet away. So these air bombs could do something, but that's very different than trying to nail these airborne targets in the sky. So in the end, the weapon just kind of sat there gathering rust and was abandoned.
I guess this is part of the process, throwing the spaghetti up against the wall, for lack of a better term, for invention. And that's maybe part of the risk-taking in warfare. I mean, for every weapon, there is a successful one that may have seemed ludicrous in development. I'm thinking of the Scud missile. That sounded crazy, something that could go and destroy other missiles. Or drones, Predator drones.
Sure.
I guess this is just part of the process.
Yes. Yes, it is. For every great weapon, you'll create probably a few lemons along the way.
We're talking about the weapons of mass miscalculation with author and regular contributor from Mental Floss magazine, Judy Dutton. Her recent article, 9 Weapons That Failed Spectacularly, appears in the magazine's May-June issue. So let's see. You've got a couple of examples of relatively recent military R&D fails, both American inventions. Incidentally, the only two with non-lethal implications from the article. What do you make of that?
Right. Well, I think it is useful to have weapons that don't that aren't lethal for crowd control and things like that. So one that has been developed is a flashlight that makes you vomit, essentially, when you look at it. And it's called the Sick Stick. And
of course.
Yes. And, I guess that's one way to incapacitate the enemy is to make them hurl.
Yeah, I guess so. And heat ray, that's the other one that we noticed in here. What's that do?
That essentially makes you feel really hot. Just kind of unbearably toasty. And it was a decent method for crowd control, but it was pulled 1 month after it was deployed. So clearly it wasn't working very well.
We found a pretty hilarious video demonstration of the active denial system, or heat ray, that aired on the History Channel. This was a couple years ago. Let's just hear the clip.
The electromagnetic radiation released by the active denial system is similar to the microwaves in your microwave oven, in that it causes the water molecules in the target to become excited and heat up. Even these stoic servicemen, aware of what's about to happen,
engage,
can't help but flinch when they feel the heat.
This is the first time I've experienced the beam from the active denial system, and it feels like an intense warmth feeling, kind of similar to opening a very hot oven door, and it's a compelling feeling that you want to get out of the way of this beam. If you were not expecting this, it would very definitely shock you and make you want to move.
Oh, and not to imagine what the damage must be to your skin.
Right, right.
One of these weapons doesn't sound like an entirely terrible idea. The Russian ship Novgorod, I believe, circa 1874, a ship with a circular design. Now, how did that turn out?
Well, there's a reason why boats are streamlined, and it's because it helps them move forward in the water faster. So when you create a boat that's shaped like a circle, it's going to chug along at a really slow rate. So it turns out that this thing couldn't move very fast, and it had to be tugged into war by other boats. So and the other problem with a circular ship is that whenever they fired a cannon off the ship, it spun like a top because the kickback just made it spin. So that was pretty ridiculous and got a lot of snickers, I'm sure, when it was used.
You also have an example stemming from the Cold War that was not entirely a failure. What was that?
Right. There was this rumors swirled that the Soviets had developed a chemical substance that could be used to make nuclear bombs as small as watermelons. And this substance was known as red mercury. And it's reportedly fetched up to 1 million for a single kilogram, and could, you know, there was a frenzy of speculation over whether it might land in terrorist hands. And yet, when samples were finally confiscated by the European police, scientists found that this red powder was only slightly more explosive than paprika. It was essentially nothing. One con artist kind of had sold something called red mercury that was pretty much a bottle painted with nail polish, and that's it. So basically in 2004, it was declared that red mercury does not exist. The whole thing is just a bunch of malarkey.
The Red Scare. That was just an opportunity to make some money. Well, thanks for running through these for us. It must have been a fun job researching all these. We appreciate your time.
Oh, definitely. Thanks so much.
Judy Dutton, a regular contributor for Mental Floss magazine and author of Science Fair Season and Secrets from the Sex Lab. You can find a link to her latest article, 9 Weapons That Failed Spectacularly, and the one that possibly didn't, at wordofmouthradio.org.